This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is Wednesday, the 28th of April, 2021, and it is the 16th day of Ramadan. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will complete this day in a few minutes, in fact, in just about an hour. So it's the 16th day of Ramadan, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue throughout this month of Ramadan, being as active as we possibly can in seeking out rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal. Today we're going to continue with the 16th juz. We didn't start Surah Al-Kahf, we were on Surah Al-Isra, and as I mentioned yesterday, Surah Al-Kahf I did as a class altogether throughout the last year, I believe. And so I intentionally did not want to take too many examples from Surah Al-Kahf, mainly because I went through it already. A few things that we'll take right at the end of the surah, not too far, closer to the end of the surah. If we look at verse number 103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. So verse number 103, 104, 105 of Surah Al-Kahf. Say, O Prophet, shall we inform you of who will lose the most deeds? Who will not benefit from the deeds that they perform in this life? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know that there are some whose deeds will be wasted, who are performing good deeds, doing good actions, but they will actually be pointless. And so he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, shall we inform you of who will lose the most deeds? They are those whose efforts are in vain in this worldly life while they think they're doing good. So people who are doing good deeds thinking, you know, I'm going to benefit from them, but they're actually worth nothing. And then in verse number 105, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is they who reject the signs of their Lord and their meeting with him, rendering their deeds void, so we will not give their deeds any weight on Judgment Day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the people who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who reject the signs of Allah azza wa jal, right? And they also reject the fact that they will stand before Allah azza wa jal, that they will be resurrected and have something known as the Day of Judgment. They are the people who will live through this life thinking they're doing good deeds, and they are doing good deeds, but the value of those good deeds is not there. And so you take an example of someone who may be, to be honest, I really don't want to use this as an example, but doctors, right? All they do day and night, alhamdulillah, is help people as best as they possibly can, right? They try to assist people, they try to, give them a better life or assist them to prolong and to preserve their life and, allow them to be with their family and so on and so forth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that if someone is a non-believer and they're still doing good deeds, those deeds are technically on the scale, on the Day of Judgment, not worth anything. Now we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, to be the judge and to decide. We are not the judges. We leave it to Allah. We're only mentioning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So he says, we will not give their deeds any weight on Judgment Day. That doesn't mean that they're not doing good. they are spreading goodness in this world. They're doing khair. They're doing lots of good, right? Helping people. Whether we're Muslim or not, we go to the doctor, and it doesn't really matter if the doctor is Muslim or not. You know, we go to them, we seek advice from them, and we respect the fact that they are giving us sound advice and sound, treatment. And of course, you know, in some countries there are laws that will help to preserve proper ethics, right? Help to promote proper ethics and morals and values across the board in terms of what the doctors are doing. And, that's what makes some countries, seem as though they're a lot more better than others. Whereas in some other countries, there might be some corruption and a doctor is not going to, and it's not just doctors. I shouldn't use only that as an example. It could be anything. It could be someone who's a teacher or someone who is, providing some sort of service, social services and so on. You know, as believers, yes, we do believe that these people are doing goodness and spreading goodness on earth, but that goodness is restricted to this dunya, right? It's restricted to this dunya. Now, a lot of the non-believers will say, well, it doesn't matter what its value, what the value of these deeds are in the hereafter, because many of them may say that they don't even believe in the hereafter. Well, we as Muslims believe that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so we want people to spread goodness in this life while we are here, but also to be able to stand and to give account on the Day of Judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as believers, knowing that, okay, now these deeds have a value and a weight as well, and they will go towards either benefiting us in the hereafter or harming us. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial to every single one of us. Ameen. Also, if you look at verse number 109, 110, right, which are the last two verses of the surah, Suratul Kahf. Someone's asking you a question. What about the Muslims who are doing good deeds, but also doing sins and not obeying Allah's command? Would they also fall into the same category, or is it only for the non-Muslims? No. Anyone who's doing good deeds, right, from amongst the believers, right, those good deeds go into the bank of good deeds. So we have good deeds that are written down and bad deeds that are written down. Okay, the good deeds are multiplied, the bad deeds or the sins are written down as one. You commit one sin, it's written down as one sin. You do a good deed, it's written down as 10, right? And could even be multiplied more. And so, as Muslims, there are Muslims who commit major sins, sometimes regularly, and all of us, you know, make mistakes and we commit minor sins here and there. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us constantly. This is why as Muslims, we believe in the concept of istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for forgiveness from the sins that we commit. Forgive me, you're going to see me moving around a lot in my chair today. My back is really hurting me today, subhanAllah. So just having a difficult time sitting. I actually wanted to do my class standing, but my standing desk is at the masjid. So we move on to verse number 109 and 110 of Suratul Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again, say, if the ocean were ink for writing the words of my Lord, it would certainly run out before the words of my Lord were finished, even if we refilled it with its equal amount. Right? قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. So, to write about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ink of the ocean, of the seas, would dry out completely. Right? And so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying and telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the mushrikun, tell the Quraysh, tell the non-believers that there's so much to learn and so much to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, it's not only for the non-believers, for us as well. To understand the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, and there's so much that could be said about Him, so much to study and to read and to research about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to continue to pursue along those lines of learning about Allah azza wa jal. And then in verse number 110, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, O Prophet, I am only a man like you. Right? Tell the people, I'm a human being and you are human beings. And I know people get, I've said this before, and Muslims, you know, we get super hypersensitive. If I was to say, I am only a man like you, right? If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this, and to use the word only and like, a lot of Muslims get upset and they say, no, he's not a human being just like us. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet and a messenger of Allah. We know that he is from the best of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, right? Amongst the prophets and the messengers. We know very well that his status is above us in terms of his piety, in terms of his selection, as in being selected as a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that he is a human being. He eats like we eat. He sleeps like we sleep. He relieves himself like we relieve ourselves. He feels feelings like we feel feelings. He, you know, felt anger and emotion like we feel anger and emotion. You know, he has the freedom and ability to go places and the freedom and ability to choose not to go to those places. So as a human being compared to another human being, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُحَى إِلَيَّ. I am only a man like you, a human being just like you. But it has been revealed to me that your God is only one God. So the difference between him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and every other human being is that he was chosen as a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. This is an important aspect of this verse. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. How many of us wish to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Type in number one if you wish to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's just see. How many of us wish to meet Allah? I'm going to type in number one. Actually, we should type in number I, letter I, right? The letter I. I wish to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي. Does anyone here wish to meet Allah? If you do, type in the letter I. Oof. I'm using a phone that is like 10 years old to live stream, and it's taking forever, right? Do we wish to meet Allah? Of course. It's like a ridiculous question, right? Do we wish to meet Allah? Obviously, we wish to meet Allah. So Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. Okay? So whoever hopes for the meeting with their Lord, whoever hopes to meet their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Right? Let them do good deeds. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And associate none in worship of their Lord. So it's super simple. Look at the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, right? He says, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people that I'm a human being like you, and what makes me different, the only thing that is different is that the revelation came to me. And the revelation of your God being one God, that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, so whoever hopes for the meeting of their Lord, and we all hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then do good deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. not worshipping anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of our deen, following through with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of our deen, but it can be summed up in these two simple pieces of advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, or commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. What are they? First of all, doing good deeds. And I'll give you a simple example. You know, I go into the prison and speak to inmates, and one of the things that we try to convey as a message to inmates, as well as to those that are free, every single one of us, is to do good deeds, right? فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Be a good person. Have good character, right? Be a kind person. Speak to people in a fair, just, respectful manner, right? Smile at others. And today you're going to see that I'm just a little bit off because, like I said, and I was actually telling myself for the last few minutes, like, Dawood, smile. But the pain in my back is just like pounding. And I was telling my wife right before coming online, I told her, I said, SubhanAllah, I really don't feel like going online. The pain is just distracting my mind. Like, my mind is not there. I was trying to prepare. I was sitting here before at my desk, and I was just like looking at the Quran, looking at the explanation, looking at my notes, and I'm just like, just can't focus, just not there, subhanAllah. And so, you know, doing good deeds could even be just smiling at someone, where we put our, you know, own feelings and stuff aside and just smile. Saying something nice, having a good character, right? Not cheating, not stealing, not lying, not taking advantage of others. Do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. You wish to meet Allah, do good deeds, right? And so what we share, not only with ourselves, but as I was saying, you know, sometimes we go into prison and I let the inmates know, look, as a Muslim, be the best that you can be, right? Be the best that you can be. Show a good example to not only the rest of the inmates that are there, but show a good example to the guards. The guards should recognize and know that you're a Muslim, right? They should know and recognize that this is the behavior of a Muslim. They're respectful. They say please and thank you. They honor us, right? They won't argue back on things that don't need arguing back, right? Sometimes there's a need to defend yourself and you speak up. That's fine, right? But generally, if there's no need for it, then there's no need for it. You know, things like that, subhanAllah, are absolutely important as Muslims. And it doesn't only restrict itself to people that are, you know, in a difficult situation. All of us, everyone should know that we are Muslim. When we drive down our streets, people should know that family is Muslim. Not because they're like saying bad things about us or pointing out bad aspects of our life that they may have noticed. You know, we all make mistakes. We all do things that we are ashamed of and regret sometimes. But they should see us as, you know, people of honor, people who will look after them, people who, you know, when the recycling bins are collected, you go and you move your neighbor's recycling bin up the driveway. Or if it's on the street, you simply put it back onto the curb and get it off the street. If you're driving down, you know, a neighborhood and you see that, you know, the garbage bins or the recycling bins were emptied and the garbage and recycling was collected, but the bin is there in the middle of the street. Sometimes the wind blows it by, right? And leaves it right in the middle of the street. The Muslim should stop. If they're able to, again, we have to make sure that you're not stopping on a street that's dangerous, right? Or an area that's dangerous. But generally in the residential area, you pull your car to the side, you park, and you move that bin over, okay? So that's important for us as Muslims to show a good example. People should recognize, oh, you know, the Muslims are the people that get things done for society. The Muslims are the people that look after us. The Muslims are the people that care about other human beings. And we shouldn't just show up when there's some ulterior motive, some alternative motive as well. Like, oh, there's a reason why the Muslims are doing this now and they don't do it regularly. No, we should be doing good deeds all the time. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And do not associate anyone or anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our worship, right? So, thinking of the next surah that we're going into, this last verse and this last part of the last verse is super powerful, because the next surah is Surah Maryam. And what do people do? وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and associate none in the worship of your Lord. You turn the page and what do you find? Surah Maryam. What do people do? They worship Maryam. they worship Isa. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, right? It's not supposed to be that way. We're not allowed to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you remember back, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned Isa alayhi salam, and we took this a few nights ago, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question Isa alayhi salam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question Isa alayhi salam, did you ask people to worship you? And he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it isn't befitting for me to tell people to do something that is not right, and it's not in my power to do that, right? I'm not one to tell people to worship me. And this is what Isa alayhi salam will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي بحق. I have no right to tell people that. I have no right to tell people to worship me. Why would I do that? Right? So if we see Isa alayhi salam telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this powerful message, right? I'm not in a position to tell people to worship me. Why would I tell them to worship me? And you know very well what I said to them, and you know very well what message I conveyed, right? And so this next surah is important, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends Surah Al-Kahf by saying by giving the command of not to worship or associate anyone in our worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you turn the page and you find Surah Maryam. And people do exactly that. People do exactly that. Right? They worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 16. In fact, before that you see Zakaria is mentioned alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, sends the angels. The angels announce, O Zakaria, indeed we give you good news of, you know, the birth of a son, right? Whose name will be Yahya. His name will be Yahya, a name we have not given to anyone before. Modern terms, modern day, you know, English, we say Yahya is John, right? Yahya alayhi salam, a name that was never given, never used before that. Yahya. Who was Yahya alayhi salam? Who was Zakaria? A man in his old age is given the news that he will have a son, and his son's name will be Yahya. And of course, Zakaria is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he receives this good news, and he has, you know, with his wife, this child. Ya Yahya, خذ الكتاب بقوة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Yahya alayhi salam, you know, hold firmly to the scriptures. Hold firmly. What is the scripture of Yahya alayhi salam? It is the Torah. Okay? The Torah that was revealed to Musa alayhi salam, he continues to convey the message of the Torah. Okay? So he memorized the scripture. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. And we granted him wisdom while he was still young. He was still a child, right? وَحَنَانًا مِنْ لَدُنَّا وَزَكَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as well as purity and compassion from us. وَكَانَ تَقِيًّا. And he was God-fearing, right? He was fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْهِ. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he was kind to his parents, and he was neither arrogant nor disobedient. So the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they had this type of attitude where they would listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and be respectful despite the challenges and the hardships that they're going through. Whereas us nowadays, we struggle with that. That doesn't mean that they didn't struggle, but we struggle so much more, right? Then in verse number 16, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and mention in the book, O Prophet, the story of Maryam. Who was Maryam? When she withdrew from her family to a place in the east, She withdrew from her family to a place in the east. Now we know that Maryam, she had a mihrab. She used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was from the most devout of human beings who lived on the face of this earth, right? And the highest of status goes to Maryam, the mother of Isa. From amongst the women, she is held at the highest level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mention, say to the people, convey the message of Maryam and her story to them. He says, verse number, for those that are wondering which verse we're on verses number 16, 17 and onwards. Okay, we're going to be taking a few of the verses. 16 and 17 and onwards of Surah Maryam. Okay. And mention in the book the story of Mary when she withdrew from her family to a place in the east and screened herself off from them, right? She basically distanced herself from her family. Then we sent to her our angel. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we sent her our angel, Jibril, alayhi salam, the angel Jibril. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Appearing before her as a man in the form of a human being, perfectly formed, right? You could not tell the difference between, him and another human being. In the sense that he came in the form of a human, there was no way of knowing that he was an angel or not a human. And she says, قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا. So she leaves and she goes away and she's in seclusion, she's on her own, and this man who is the angel Jibril comes to her in this perfect form of a human being, and she responds, right? She responds to him and says, I truly seek refuge in the most compassionate from you. So leave me alone if you are fearing of God. Right? She is seeking refuge, seeking help in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this person. She has no idea who this man is, but she's alone and she doesn't want to be with someone who is not her mahram. She doesn't want to be with a man who she is not allowed to be with. And then he says to her, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكِ لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the angel responds to Maryam alayhi salam and says, I am only a messenger from your Lord, sent to bless you with a pure son. Sent to bless you with a pure son. She wondered, how can I have a son when no man has ever touched me, nor am I unchaste? I have never wronged the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have never committed that sin. And she says, I have never been with a man. So how can you give me this news of having a son when I have never been with someone else in order to, you know, produce this son? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ. He replies and says to her, so it will be. Your Lord says, it is easy for me. And so will we make him a sign for humanity. As in, Allah will make Isa, the baby, the boy, a sign for humanity and a mercy from us. It is a matter already decreed. The angel says to Maryam, you don't have a choice in this. This matter is already decreed. Allah has already decided upon it, and you are the one who's going to receive this child, this boy, without ever being with a man. فَحَمَلَتْهُ فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. So she conceived him and withdrew with him to a remote place. Then the pains of labor drove her closer to a tree. Now, of course, time has passed, and she's about to deliver this child, Isa alayhi salam, and the pains of labor were so strong and so severe, so unbearable for her, it drove her to the trunk of a palm tree, and she cried, right? Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasyan mansiya. She cried out, alas, I wish I had died before this and was a thing long forgotten. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this amazing, amazing, amazing woman, Maryam, be the chosen person to conceive this child and to give birth to a child, having never been with a man and never committing sin. And she calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so much pain and agony, how I wish that I had died before this. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How difficult it must have been for Maryam. How difficult it must have been for the mother of Isa. You know, when you think of what our parents have gone through, just imagine not even having someone to be there with you. She had no one to be with, and she was with no one. And Allah was the only one looking after her, alhamdulillah. Of course, every single one of us is under the, you know, the help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But she's all alone. And the pain is so difficult for her that she says that she wishes she died. But what's so beautiful about Maryam is that she's the woman that the whole world knows. And a miracle came to her that was not given to anyone else. No other woman had a child without ever being with another man. Right? And of course, you know, science and stuff like that nowadays we know is being used, but she was pure, and every, you know, across the globe, every single country, every city, every town, everyone knows of Maryam alayha salam. May Allah have mercy and bless her and shower her with peace and blessings. A woman did something no other woman can imagine, and no other person can imagine doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that she now has to deliver this child on her own. On her own. And so when she calls out in so much pain, saying that she wishes that she died before this and was a thing long forgotten, Allah made sure that she would never be forgotten. Regardless of the faith, regardless of whether someone has faith or not, everyone knows Mary. Everyone knows Maryam. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved her and came to her assistance. And if Allah can come to the assistance of a person like that who is crying out, seeking His help, Allah is showing us that He will come and help anyone. As in, His help will be given and granted to anyone who's going through anything. So she conceived him and withdrew to a remote place, and she calls out, and then a voice reassures her from below her. Do not grieve. Your Lord has provided a stream at your feet. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides her this nakhla, this tree with dates, a palm tree, and then provides her with this stream that flows in front of her. You have what you need in terms of the humanly provisions, right? وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you shake the trunk of this palm tree towards you, it will drop fresh, ripe dates upon you. Allahu Akbar. How many of us go to a date palm tree and shake it? Imagine how much pain and how much emotion was just running through Maryam alayhi salam, where she needs food, she needs drink, she needs assistance, she needs some reassurance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing it for her. You have what you need. Shake this tree, the dates will fall. And subhanAllah, till today, when you look at, you know, the research that's done regarding dates and how much nutrients they provide and how beneficial they are, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam broke his fast on dates as well. Not only because it was the food that was there. Yes, people will argue and say, Dawud, it was the only thing they had. Yes. But even when they had other food to eat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose al-aswadan. Right? He chose dates and water. Two simple things that our body needs. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides this for Maryam. And then, فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. So eat and drink and put your heart at ease. Right? Put your heart at ease. But if you see any of the people, say, I have vowed silence to the most compassionate, so I am not talking to anyone today. So after the child is born, tell the people when they meet you with this child, and they will question you. They will question you, where did this baby come from? How did you get pregnant? How did you deliver this child? What did you do? What happened in your past? People, of course, will assume the worst of each other. That's how we are as human beings. We assume the worst of each other. SubhanAllah, even this morning, I woke up and I see, after Fajr, I stayed awake for a bit. After, an hour or two, basically once the sun rose. And SubhanAllah, I looked at my phone, turned on the internet, which I probably shouldn't have. Saw the messages and I was like, SubhanAllah, sometimes the problems that the Muslims face are produced by Muslims themselves. In fact, a lot of the time that's the case, right? Where the issues we have to deal with as Muslims are coming from the Muslims themselves. Like, we're just creating problems for ourselves just because, like, what, we have nothing better to do on earth? SubhanAllah, open the Quran and read. Go and pray Fajr. Make dua. It's the sun is rising. Pray duha. Do something else. Do something with your life. And this is why I remember our scholars used to say in their dua, right? Our teachers used to say in their dua, and they continue to say this. Someone who has bad intentions, someone who wants to harm the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, make them busy with themselves. Right? فَأَشْغِلْهُ بِنَفْسِهِ. Make them busy with themselves. Like, they will just, just make them stuck in their own life. Just don't let their nonsense, go closer to the Muslims. SubhanAllah, such a beautiful, dua to make, where it's like, if someone just wants to cause trouble, then let them cause trouble in their own life. Let them have that trouble themselves, right? Of course, we try and help people, but people at times don't want help. They choose to be a certain way, right? They choose to be a certain way. They choose not to try to understand. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we leave it to Him. Then she returned to her people, carrying him. They said in shock, O Mary, you have certainly done a horrible thing. Of course, they're going to think the worst of her, right? You've done a horrible thing. What is this? Where did you get this child from? How did you become pregnant? You never got married. Who's the father of this child? Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki mura'a saw'in. Oh, sister of Harun, of Aaron, right? Your father was not an indecent man. Your father was not an indecent man. وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّةً. Nor was your mother unchaste. How is it that you end up with this child? فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. So she pointed to the baby. And they exclaimed, كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا. They said, how can we talk to someone who's an infant in the cradle? So they come and they're like, you know, accusing her of this, and she has this baby, and she's like, the child will speak. The child will speak. Let the child speak. And they're like, come on. You know who your father was. You know who your mother was. You're not this type of person. The baby's going to speak. You're telling us that this baby's going to speak? And then at that moment, Isa, as a baby in her arms, declares, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. Isa alayhi salam says to the people, I'm truly a servant of Allah. إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. I'm truly a servant of Allah. He has destined me to be given the scripture and to be a prophet. Allahu Akbar. Usually when we think of the prophets, like even Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when we went through his surah and the story about his life, we think of him as someone who reaches وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. Right? Someone who reaches 40 years old, you know, they have wisdom. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam became a prophet at the age of 40. Here we have a baby in the arms of his mother, who the mother just returns from delivering this baby, and the baby speaks and says, Inni Abdullah Atani al-Kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya. Firm, straightforward, to the point. I am truly a servant of Allah. He has destined for me to be given the scripture and to be a prophet. So I'm a prophet, I receive the scripture, the Bible, the Injil, right? And I am a worshipper, a servant of Allah. I am not God. I'm not the Son. I'm not the Father. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Nor is my mother to be worshipped, and I am not to be worshipped as well. He is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given a scripture, and a servant of Allah, a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتْ وَأُوصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. He has made me a blessing wherever I go, and bid me to establish prayer, right? Has given me this command, this order, to establish prayer and give alms, zakah, as long as I live, right? To be helpful towards others and to establish prayer. And I'm a blessing. And truly, he is a blessing, alayhi salam. And to be kind to my mother. Wa barram bi walidati. He says, and to be kind to my mother, not to his father. There is no father for Isa, alayhi salam. So he's like the one human being who does not have to do birrul walidain. He has to do birrul walida, right? He has to be kind to his mother. Subhanallah. Peace be upon me the day I was born. I didn't finish that ayah. Walam yaj'alni jabbaran shaqiyya. And to be kind to my mother, he has not made me arrogant or defiant, right? Peace be upon me the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I will be raised back to life. Isa alayhi salam, as a baby, says this to his people, that he will be raised back to life. As in, he ascended and he will come back and then he will die. And I was talking to someone today, a Muslim brother, and we were talking about this. How Isa alayhi salam will come back. He ascended, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him back up. He will come back to this earth, and he will be from amongst those who follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will follow the Quran revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he will be from amongst our ummah. He will be a follower of Prophet Muhammad, the only prophet to be a prophet, the only prophet to to come back and to be part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ذَلِكَ عِيسَ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is Jesus, the son of Mary. قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. And this is a word of truth about which they dispute. Human beings know the story of Isa. Human beings know the story of Jesus, alayhi salam. We know what happened. We know what took place. Whether we are Muslim or we are Jewish or we are Christian, I should say, whether we're Muslim or someone is Jewish or someone is Christian or someone follows something or doesn't follow something, we've all heard of the story of Isa, alayhi salam. And the story, we can find glitches here and there, but within the Quran we find the truth. And he will come to be from amongst those who follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. It is not for Allah to take a son. Glory be to him. When he decrees a matter, he simply tells it to be, and it will be, and it is. And the surah continues, alhamdulillah. If we skip to verse number 54 and 55, and mention in the book, O Prophet, right? وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَاعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And mention in the book, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mention the story of Prophet Ismail. Mention the story of Ismail. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَاعِيلِ. He is truly a man of his word and was a messenger and a prophet. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. He used to urge his people to pray and give alms, tax, right? Zakah. And his Lord was well pleased with him. Allahu Akbar. How many times do we need to hear about the prophets and the messengers of the past who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who were, of course, human beings, who were honest, truthful people, who would encourage others to pray, and they would pray themselves, and encourage others, and they themselves would give tax, or give alms, right? Zakah. Give to help those who are in need. This is the way of the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give from your wealth to those who are in need. And his Lord was well pleased with him. So if the Lord of Ismail alayhi salam was well pleased with him, and these are the things that he did, I'm pretty sure that we follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we know the story of Ismail alayhi salam, and we try our best to be people that are true to our word and are kind and honest, right? And we encourage people to pray, and we give our zakah. And so we should continue by encouraging ourselves to go to the masjid website tonight, inshallah ta'ala, right now, and to donate. Or if you have your Ramadan Sprint 2021 box, then make sure that you put something in it and you give your sadaqah today, that you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can go to the masjid website, iknamilton.com, www.icnamilton.com. And you can donate, inshallah ta'ala. And there's different places you can donate there. Also, my brothers and sisters, please do remember Zakatul Fitr. Zakatul Fitr. We should pay it out now in advance, right? Because we don't have the ability, for the most part, to actually go in the food and give it to the people that are in need. So we empower someone else to do that for us. And alhamdulillah, through our masjid, we do it through Ikna Relief. Right, we do it through Ikna Relief because our masjid is a project of Ikna Canada. So we do it through Ikna Relief, and we need to get that wealth out there now. So the Zakatul Fitr, for those who are wondering, is for this year, for the most part across the GTA, $10 per person. So if you're a family of two, you will pay $10 per person. That's $20. A family of four, $40. A family of 11, $110. May Allah have mercy on you, right? Those who have a family of 11, Alhamdulillah. There's a lot of barakah in your rizq, right? The people who have more children, they say, oh, we have more expenses. No, Allah says that He gives more rizq to you. You have more wealth. Alhamdulillah, right? And they will argue with it, but don't argue. The rizq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, first off, please do remember your zakatul fitr. Pay it out. Pay it out from today, inshallah, if you can do that. Secondly, those of us who have our Ramadan sprint, let's make sure that we are putting our $10 a day. We need to have at least $300 per family returning to us at the end, returning to the masjid at the end of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And lastly, try to donate as generously as possible. Go to the Masjid website. And I know in the last 10 days, we usually will push a little bit more. We will be having a live stream from the masjid on the odd nights, inshallah ta'ala. We were just finalizing some of those details earlier today. So we will be having that live stream just for 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes in the evening. We'll have some of our, young Hufadh, come in and recite for us, inshallah ta'ala, and encourage us to all contribute and to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, the masjid still needs to be maintained by the Muslims, right? The masjid needs to be maintained by the Muslims. And so we need to look after our masajid. Jazakumullahu khairan, my brothers and sisters. Barakallahu fikum. I'll see all of you tomorrow. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.